Blog Talk Radio.
Happening there, good folks. Welcome to the Off Ramp. Glad to hear from you on this March 25th, 2013, 11 p.m. It's your man Beach Bum Gun on the MIKE mic. What's going on this nice ass Monday? It is cold, cold, cold. I don't know where you at, but it is freezing on the East Coast. I hope wherever you are, it's nice and warm. But if it's not, make sure you got your triple fat goose on, man, because it is definitely chilly. Again, this is the off-ramp where, you know, this is a show for the people, by the people. We give you nothing but real talk. You want to call up, have something to say, call 646-915-8680. Feel free to hit us up on Twitter, at BeachBumGun, at BSoul02. At Sigmatic 1914, I usually have my co-hosts with me, but they late again, man. So it's just me holding it down right now. Got a couple different things we can talk about. First couple things we can talk about, of course, is the basketball tournament. I don't know if a lot of y'all are keeping it up, but it's definitely a Cinderella story with Florida Gulf Coast down there doing their thing for the tournament. Man, I will say they are an exciting bunch. My bracket is busted. I mean, it's just done. I donated money. I'm not telling my woman how much I donated because I get cussed out. But I just say I donated money. Don't know if I can write it off on my taxes, but I feel like I should. But I don't have a baby yet, so it's not like I'm missing my Similac payments. So, Tony, my bracket is busted. Florida Gulf Coast busted it. LaSalle, reps from Philly and from the area, they doing their thing. Glad to see that. But, man, I think two out of my final four teams is gone. That's just how the tournament's been going. But it's exciting games out there. LaSalle had an exciting game. The Florida Coast has to be the most exciting team in the tournament. All they do is throw alley-oops. You'd think they was playing the NBA Jam out there. And I hate to be racist, but this is real talk. This is what we do. This is all complete honesty in its purest form of ignorance. These is white boys catching these oops. And they are killing the game out there. And I'm proud of them. Like, I'm white. And I'm one of the blackest people you'll ever meet. I mean, I ain't dark. I'm just, you know, I'm full-fledged black dude. I love being black. You know, these white dudes is out here hooping, man. It's like Billy Ho came down and blessed Florida Gulf Coast, told him it was pretty and white men can jump. And these white dudes are basically making a comeback to the NCAA tournament. Hey, just seen that. My co-host, Mr. Righteous, just got online. Mr. Righteous, what's going on?
Yo, what's good, brother?
Hey, much, hey, much. I didn't know if you were showing up today, man.
I just left Open Gym, man, you know. Had to get my little workout on, man.
Yo, you ain't get dunked on tonight, did you?
Huh?
You ain't get dunked on tonight, did you?
Nah, I ain't getting no dunked on, man. I don't get too close to them bastards to be getting dunked on, yo.
Yo, why are you black people hooping at 11 o'clock at night on the East Coast, yo? Like, none of y'all got jobs, yo? Is the struggle with the couple, yo?
But that's the time they open up the gym, yo.
Don't nobody got to go to work in the morning?
I don't know, man. The dude who run it, man, that's the time he open up the gym. I guess that's the only time he can open up the gym, 9 to 12. But I get my two runs in and I'm out, yo.
You only get two runs, you gotta get four in. You gotta get like four.
I'm too old for all that. I get my two and I'm done, yo. It's too many balls in there, yo. I ain't got no time to be chasing them 18-year-olds around, yo.
It's 18-year-old kids in there. Should they be in college, yo? I'm not.
Age varies in that joint, yo. But all the old heads get their two in and they roll.
Yo, man, every time you see a young kid in there, yo, make sure you tell him to read a book, yo. Go recommend a book for him to read, yo. I'm serious about that, too, man. These young kids need direction. You know what I mean? These are a lot of kids running around here without fathers and all this stuff. You know what I mean? And sometimes we as a people are too shy to say something to these young kids. always try to recommend a book for young kids to read, y'all. Even though I don't talk to many young kids, I don't trust them bastards, y'all. Too much rapping music. But if you hooping with them, y'all, tell them to read a book, y'all. You might make a difference, y'all. So what you been thinking of the NCAA tournament so far?
Man, tournament is crazy, which is why I didn't want to put no money in, because I didn't want to lose it. I'd have been out the first round. My bracket would have been busted the first round, you know, and I would have been out $20, man, and then I'll be angry.
who'd you think would go win it?
Who's I think would win it?
Yeah.
Man, looking the way how nobody was consistent with being the number one team, I don't know who was going to win it, yo. I mean, you can't even get nobody a clear favorite, yo. You can't get nobody a clear favorite because you just don't know, yo. At all.
Oh. Hey, they put you on hold. Well, I'm not going to put you on hold, but co-hosts finally showed up. Other co-hosts finally called in. MX your money was good.
What's going on, fellas, man? Sorry I'm late. But Duke is the favorite.
Mark my words.
Mark my words, Duke is the favorite.
You who?
Duke is the favorite.
No way. They're not even close to being the favorite. They didn't even win their own. The team that beat y'all in the regular season and won y'all conference is still in the tournament. They have to be the favorite over y'all.
First of all, we split.
You're right, but they won the championship. Who's the ACC champion?
They beat us without Kelly. Kelly came back and gave him 20.
Who's the ACC champion?
What does that matter?
That would make them the favorite.
We were the ACC champion last year and got bounced by Lehigh.
No, I'm not saying that they're going to beat y'all or y'all going to beat them. I'm saying who's the favorite. The favorite would be the team who won the ACC out of you two, right?
No, because it could be an all-ACC now. It could be an all-ACC championship. That would be great, actually.
You're still not answering my question, though. You're changing the topic again.
No, I'm not.
You're
saying just because you won the outright ACC and you won the conference champ does not make you the favorite in the college in the 64.
So why wouldn't? Okay, who's are y'all both seeded the same? Are y'all both two seeds?
We were both two seeds.
So why?
The reason why I say that is because. People, we've been the same, right, what you're talking about. We've been that same thing, and people have picked Carolina to beat us. And that actually has happened, where we won the ACC title. We actually won the ACC regular season, and Carolina went on to win the championship in 2009.
That still doesn't – that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. You said who was the favorite. I'm saying who's the favorite, not who's going to win. I don't know who will win out of Duke and Miami. I think it'd be a hell of a matchup for the rubber match. I'm saying who would be considered the favorite, who Vegas has more money on if you two play each other. I'm assuming it would be Miami just because, you know, y'all split during the regular season and they won the ACC championship. I would assume they'd be favored maybe by a point or two over y'all.
But as a fan, I can't say that. I'm not talking about Vegas. Vegas may have it that way, honestly. But as a fan, I'm just coming in saying Duke is the favorite. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't separate the fandom. I get it. So hold on, real quick, yo.
I can.
Hey, you got a caller on the line from the 856. You're on the off ramp. What's good? Hello.
What up?
All right. I'll put you back on hold. Yo, we got a call from 856-979. Don't know where he at, yo, but he on there. All right, but we got a couple of different things to talk about tonight. MX, I know you hit me with a pretty interesting topic earlier. You want to tell the people about that so we can discuss it?
Oh, yeah, man. So basically, man, as I was coming home from my bowling league, man, so I'm listening to Rachel Maddow's show on MSNBC, and she has the person from basically the only abortion clinic left in North Dakota.
M-Extra, hold on real quick. Hey, Mr. Righteous, y'all, I'll put you on mute, man. Stop talking in the background. Go ahead, M-Extra.
So basically, she's interviewing the only abortion clinic, the lady that runs the only abortion clinic left in North Dakota. And they're basically talking about the federal, like this week, North Dakota State Congress passed a personhood bill. They sent it to the voters. Basically, the personhood bill, if you don't know, is outlaws all forms of abortion for women. So, I mean, a birth control. So no pill, no in vitro fertilization, none of that. And they also passed a bill that outlaws abortions up to 6 weeks or passes or basically past 6 weeks. Well, a lot of women don't even know that they're pregnant in 6 weeks. So it basically outlaws abortion altogether. And so the lady who runs the only abortion clinic, it's basically a bill to shut her down because people come to her, you know what I mean, when they actually find out that they're pregnant, which is after 6 weeks, so she can never perform an abortion. And so my whole thing is that this is the same state who where seatbelts aren't even mandatory for people who are actually alive. And they're passing bills for one gender for protecting the unborn. So if you're protecting the unborn, you would think that you would also be for mandatory seatbelts like other states too. I just don't understand, you know what I mean, like some of the whole Republican, like, agenda right now, you know what I mean, where people come in, we're giving all these rights to the unborn, and then when it comes to gun laws, that's actually killing people that are alive, going seatbelts, protecting, you know what I mean, people in car crashes, then they don't have nothing to say about that. But then if you talk about unborn children, you know what I mean, then they'll throw all the money in the world at it. Like, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, man, that's, hey, Mr. Righteous, I finally took you off mute. You want to comment first?
I got mad lost, son.
That's because you were talking to somebody else, yo. All right, well, yo, MX Money, yo. That joint's crazy. That joint sounds crazy to me. I mean, of course, that's against my whole agenda of having people all on birth control and taking the test before they're allowed to have a baby because there's way too many people out here having babies. So, I mean, but is that even legal? Like, isn't that against Roe versus Wade?
It is. That's exactly my point. So, basically, the reason why, and that's the thing. So, you had, like, Republicans actually stand up and block it last year, right? He blocked because he was basically like, yo, like, they tried it in Mississippi. They tried it in Alabama. And they sent it to the voters, and the people said no, right? And one of the Republicans senators last year blocked it, basically filibustered the joint, blocked it. So basically blocked it. So they went after him. They redistricted it. He got kicked out of office, put into another person who actually supported them, and that's how they got it passed this time. And it's going to get contested because it does go against Roe versus Wade. So they're like, yo, so basically one of the Republicans like, yo, we passed it, but it's stupid because now we're going to spend taxpayers' money defending the court action because now they're going to go and challenge it, and now the state has to defend their right, their like the law that they just passed. It doesn't make no sense.
Now, how do these people get these bills passed? Because I would think every kid 18 to 20, what? 18 to 27 will vote against this because I know I wouldn't have sex with anybody in North Dakota because that's just not
young
worth it.
Young people don't vote.
Yo, what are you?
Yeah, Mr. Righteous is out here. Yo, put your phone on mute.
Yeah, I think you're talking to
my phone is on mute. Yo, that ain't me. That was, my phone is on mute. What you talking about?
E56 all in.
Ah, there we go. Is this from the 856 979? You finally talking?
Man, you should know my number by heart. Look,
yo,
I was making a drink while y'all trying to buzz people in. Look, you got to give people warnings.
Look.
What? What? He's making yourself a drink. Yo, what's your priority?
Yo, how you going to call in and not be ready to talk? Why aren't you calling
I'm ready,
and ready
to
talk.
Look. Look, when I called in, y'all was talking about the tournament. My team just went 0-28. I can't talk about the tournament.
That's
Grambling State University. We gotta live with that. And then my other team, West Virginia University, we didn't even make the big dance. So I have nothing to say about that. Like, you know what I mean, how do you join a conversation that you're not allowed, not even invited to. So I sat back, fall back. You know what I mean? That's just what it is.
All right, well, yo, since I got you on time, hey, since I got you on the phone, M Extra Money, we're going to table that birth control topic maybe for another day where we can get serious. So I want to get a passion to talk about it. Since I have Mr. Righteous, he went to an all-black university. I got M Extra Money, he went to a predominantly white school. And I got the dude, what'd you call yourself there, A56? What you just want to be called? Willie?
Look, man, you can call me whatever you want.
All that nigga scrotum head.
For real, that's what it is?
I got my man Will. He went to a black school and he went to a white school. I went to a predominantly white school. So, yeah, I've gotten this discussion from my wife who went to a HBCU, predominantly a black school.
You will never win this battle.
Yo, man, shut up and let me introduce a topic, man. You know what I'm talking about, but no one else does.
I'm trying to warn you.
Yo, so I had this discussion with a lot of people. They say going to, especially my wife, they say going to a black school, that experience is richer and different than going as a black person going to an all-white school. So my question for you, Willie, since you went to both, now listen to my question. Which school did you enjoy yourself most at?
Hands down, Grambling State University.
You're lying.
Without a shadow of a doubt, Grambling State University.
Son,
I
will
tell
you
the absolute truth. Why did I go to West Virginia?
No, why didn't you make it to West Virginia? Because you was talking.
It was my own fault. Wait. I'll tell the truth. It's my own fault I didn't make it at West Virginia. I academically failed out. I was not mature enough for that situation at the time. At 18, 19 years old, I was not mature enough for a classroom of 75, you know, no parents, you on your own, true large school environment.
That's any
I wasn't
college.
Mature enough.
That's any college. That's not just West Virginia, though. I mean, that's any college.
Yeah, but that's any large college. When I transferred to Grambling, I had my brother there. I had more of a support system. Not to mention those two failed years at West Virginia.
Yeah,
I transferred to Grambling and started all over. I threw away everything. I turned down Marshall. I turned down Dell State to go to Grambling. I even turned down University of Delaware.
Let me ask you this, though, Beach Bum Gun. Hey, Beach Bum Gun, let me ask you this, though. What you mean by richer? Like, what do you mean? Like, education? Like, what do you mean by that? Can you go into a little bit more detail? Like, what are you saying by that?
You got to ask Willie that because I keep – you got – well, first, hold on, M Extra Money. I want to see if Vincent has that same – or Mr. Rogers has that same thought. Mr. Rogers, do you think your experience at a black university was richer and better than what a black person would experience at a white school?
Well, I never went to a white school, so I can't really say – if it was richer or not, because I've never been there as far as, like, the educational part of it. Party-wise, I mean, I had fun. But as far as going to a black school, man, it was like being home, man. It's like a family, yo. Everybody knows you. All your teachers know you. Everybody in your class, you got a class. My classroom, I had no more than 15 people in my class, all my classes. I had the same professors for all 4 years. Same advisor for all five years, I'm sorry. I did 5 years, I'm sorry. So I was comfortable, man. I felt like I was home, opposed to, like, I'm not saying all, you know, white colleges are huge, but most of them got some big-ass classes. I can't function in no class of, like, 80, 90 people, man. I need that one-on-one.
So are we just now we're talking about small schools versus large schools then?
I'm just saying, to me, it was a family atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I've never been to an all-white school where I can go and actually mingle with the people. But as far as me going to Dell State, it was a family atmosphere. I knew everybody, yo. From the campus was nice and small, and I knew everybody. It was all like a family, yo. Huh? Instead of me mingling just a small group of people, like, I knew everybody. So I was able to go hang out with anybody on campus. Myself, I was able to go and hang out with anybody on campus because I knew everybody, opposed to just, like, knowing this one group and then not knowing the next group or the next people on campus or these people on campus. I knew everybody.
Okay, so hold on. So Willie, let me ask you this, because I want to get back to M. Extra Money's original question. Why do you think your experience at a black school would be different? Maybe not better. I don't think you ever used the word better, but you said I wouldn't understand it because your experience is different at a black school than a white school. What do you think is different about it?
I mean, for me personally, and I get this sentiment from a lot of other historically black college alumni, there is no other experience like an undergraduate historic black college experience. I give you an athletic point of view. It'd be times where I would be traveling with the track team, get on the bus, and see people that I had class with, but I didn't even know we were on the same track team because the track team was so divided that you have separated track times. It's like I see you in class, but I don't know you. So I have class with you. I'm on the same team as you, but I still do not know you. That does not happen at a black college. And that's just one example, you know.
But to me, that has nothing to do with black. It's like what M. Extra Money was saying earlier. That has nothing to do with black and white
universities. It boils down to large universities versus small universities.
Willie didn't finish my point. That has nothing to do with black and white colleges. I think that just has to do with the size of the university and the size of the team that you're involved with. I mean,
but
at a white school, I just always ask that question. Name an experience that you had that I didn't have. Because I went to a predominantly white school. I still was able to know. I knew a bunch of my classmates. I knew a bunch of my teammates. I had a hell of a time. I partied a lot. I tell you what, we had co-ed dorms and y'all didn't. So I know there was a lot more experiences I had earlier than y'all did at y'all dorms.
I lived off campus.
But, stayed on campus. And just because you had co-ed dorms, bro, that doesn't mean cats wasn't getting they man on, bro. We had our
way. Yeah, I had to steal Mr. Rogers, I didn't have to sneak those chicks out of a window.
Hey, we had to sneak out the window, sneak through the door. The window is too powerful. You got the door, brother. Hey, and that was the best part about it, man. That would give you that whole rush, man. The whole best part about it, man. I don't know, man.
Look. I didn't want that rush.
Because
I was gonna say, young you have sex, I'm done having my rush. My rush is over.
I didn't want that rush.
See, for me, the whole thing is, for instance, I know myself. Had I went to a predominantly white school, I probably would have only hung out with a certain amount of people, and it depended on if I was on the football team. So the only people I would know is the people on the football team. If I didn't play sports, so the only people I probably wouldn't know is the people, probably my roommate and a couple other people. But see, at Dell State and the HBCU, I knew everybody. And that's my experience that I had because I knew everybody. It was almost like being in high school again where you felt comfortable and you know people. It's not about the classes. So it's just all about how you feel. And I felt that felt like I was home and everybody was my family down that joint, y'all.
Hey, hold on. Hey, M. Extra Money, I ain't heard from you in a while. You got something?
Well, all I'm saying is, so the common thread that I saw with both with Mr. Righteous and Willie said was the smaller size classroom. You know, after that, you know, all that shit is about small school and large school. And to say if I think that if Mr. Righteous went to Rutgers, he still would know a lot of people. He would have fit in. He actually pledged a fraternity. With that all in itself would have led him to meet more people and see more people than what was on a football team. So I just think it's about the experience that you would make it in college. It has really nothing to do with whether it's a black school, white school. I mean, we went to Towson, predominantly white school, and we knew damn near everybody just from the parties we threw, the cabarets we threw. You know what I mean? Being a part of the fraternity, the football team. I mean, everybody wanted to party with us, you know? Like, so, I mean, I'm not saying I knew everybody's name, but they knew who the hell we were. Like, so, and then we felt like a family. We felt like we ran that whole damn yard, you know what I'm saying? So I think everything that they're saying, we felt at Towson just the same. You know? I don't think there's really no distinction. You
know? It makes a sense of family. For example, I had a teaching conference last week, and a Grambling alumni that graduated in 78 stopped me because I had a Grambling hat on. And he said, do you know about that hat or are you just wearing that hat? I don't get that when I wear West Virginia stuff. It's just like, okay, how you doing? But anybody that is caught in HBCU paraphernalia, it's just like, what do you really know about that? It is an experience that lasts a lifetime that no one forgets. I can go to
that,
but I can share and mention the experience.
You keep talking about this experience.
His experience and my experience, it's the same.
What happened?
It is the same. A Townsend experience is not the same as a West Virginia experience, but a Grambling experience is close enough to a Dell State experience where it's like, I understand your struggle. You know, at West Virginia, I never sat in a financial aid line. The financial aid office was completely empty. But if I bring up financial aid, talking about financial aid to HBCU, Vincent know about those long waits. Howard know about them long waits. Sam, you know about those long waits. It is an experience that is across every HBCU. Where is it predominantly white school? No, it's not the same.
So with that experience of bad administration and long lines.
Right. Bad credit.
We're not going to classify it as that.
Yeah, and let's not talk about no AC in the gym because I've been in there.
First of all,
how come all y'all black colleges don't never have air conditioning yet, and all y'all black?
That's the same way the church fund that keeps going. You know,
right.
the black college is a mirror of the church.
So somebody stole money.
Yeah,
you still go to the black church, don't you?
I mean,
My church got AC and flat screens.
See, that's what I'm saying. Y'all
mine got projector screens.
Hold on. Mr. Righteous, go ahead.
You see, and that's another thing, too. See, we can go back and forth and talk about how the bad food was in the cafeteria and how we had to starve. Y'all cats probably had 24-hour places where you can go eat on campus. We ain't had no crap like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had to steal food out the cafeteria just to have food. We couldn't have no fridge in there. We had to hide our fridge underneath our beds. We couldn't have no hot pot. We couldn't do nothing in those doors. Everything we had to do, we had to hide. And if I don't think y'all ever experienced stuff like that, hiding food.
Why on earth would I want to experience that? Yo, that sounds horrible. I feel bad at Jason. If I knew y'all would go through so much struggle, I'd have let y'all come to Towson University, let y'all come into the cab where Miss Debbie let us in, and y'all can eat all you want.
Yo, we're gonna send y'all a gift basket up there, joint, yo. And first of all, why you lumping all the HBCUs into one category? Yo? I know daggone well not all of them are talking about what you're talking about at Dell State. Yo. I know Florida and them are probably over there eating good. Howard ain't the same.
Florida A&M is around the corner from the hood.
What, yo? All them schools is.
Hey, I got to put all three of y'all on mute, y'all. At this point, we're all yelling over each other. So I'm going to let M Extra Money finish his point. Go ahead, M Extra Money, and I'm going to go to you, Willie. We only got a minute left. Go ahead, M Extra Money, finish your question.
All I'm saying is, I just don't want to – I think that they're clumping everybody into one category. I think that all HBCUs aren't the same. I think some of them aren't going to have the same experience. I think to Willie's point about the guy coming in and pointing out the grandma hat, I think that's more or less – the time where he went because of the whole segregation of schools. So, yeah, I can see why there's rich history there that we won't find at the same, you know what I mean?
All right, cool. Hey, cool, Em. I got to get everybody else in. You got 20 seconds.
I just want to go back to the whole abortion thing that we started before. a lot of young people – no, seriously, a lot of young people need to pay attention to what he was talking about, what's going on in North Dakota, because the people making those laws – predominantly art and young, and they're not women. So people need to pay attention to what's going on with that.
Hey, Willie, I love you. Call on tomorrow. We'll talk about it. Mr. Righteous, last point, 10 seconds.
Man, I'll just say, you have to experience what we experience to understand what we're talking about, and I'm done.
All right, I feel you. So that's our show for the night. I've learned that I never want to go to a black school because y'all don't have air conditioning and y'all starve. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Couldn't get to y'all tonight. You still got a big announcement to tell y'all about tomorrow. Might be going to a new time, longer time, man. Thanks for joining the off-ramp. We out. Funny stuff.